Okay, Rabbi Moshe, we'll learn a little bit about Metziah today. The Mitzvah Shem. We have the Mishnah here on Daf Yud. And the Mishnah tells us that if he sees the Metziah and he runs and he falls on the Metziah, he throws his body on the Metziah, then anyone can come along and take the Metziah away from him. And the Gemara questions this statement of Reish Lakish in the name of Abba Kohen Bardol, Arba Amos Shal Odom Konoslo. So in our Mishnah, Lechora, if he throws his body on the Metziah, then he should be Kona the Metziah Midin Arba Amos. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef actually asked two questions on this principle of Arba Amos Shal Odom Konoslo. The first question came from the Mishnah in Peah. And the Gemara, let's just review the highlights of the Gemara. The Gemara is going to reject that Kasha. And then we get to the second Kasha, which is going to be a Kasha from our Mishnah. That's called Nezikin, if you remember. So the Kasha from Peah is that the Mishnah tells us in this fourth parak of Peah that if the Ani throws himself down on the Peah, or for that matter, he throws other payah that he collected onto the payah, then ein lo baklum, which might even mean that we remove him from the first part of the payah that he picked up legally and legitimately make a kinyan. And then the Mishnah in payah gives other examples where we, you know, where he has not successfully been zocha in the payah. One is called nafal aleha, the other is called paras taliso aleha, and it says mavir no sahimenu. So the question is, what happened to Arba Amos Konoslo Mikol Mokom? So the Gemara says that the Mishnah in Peah is talking about a very, very specific case where instead of saying Akni, he says, you know what? I'm not interested in the Takonis Chachomim of Dalin Amos, but rather, I would rather be Kone this Peah with Nefila. He has a cheshbon in his mind that Nefila is a better option for him. And this touches on the famous principle of Ha'omri Efshili B'Takonis Chachamim Shomin Lo, that it's valid for a person to say and declare that he's not interested in a Kinyan D'Rabbanon. We pointed out last time, if you remember, that if it would have been a Kinyan D'Oraisa, then he would be Koda even if he's not interested in the Kinyan. So we differentiated between the Maisa Kinyan and the Chalos Kinyan. I'm not sure if you remember all that. And Rav Papa now tries to defend the position of Reish Lakish in the name of Abba Kohen Bardola and deflect the question from the Mishnah in Peah. Says Rav Papa, the top of Daf Yud Amud Beis, Ki takinu le Rabbanan Arba Amos, that's only be Alma. But besodeh debalabayis lo takinu le Rabbanan, if a person has private ownership, somebody owns this plantation, this land, this field, then you cannot walk into the field, and even if you had permission to go into the field and establish Dalet Amos, there's no such thing as being Kona a Chotzer in someone's private property. And the Rabbanon made his Takona called Dalet Amos, Kinyan Dalet Amos, but they restricted it. And they said it only applies in a situation where there's either hefker land or a simta, some sort of a land where, you know, a piece of land where anyone's allowed to go in, or perhaps something called sidei rishus harabim. And therefore, what we have here is afagav dezochile rachmanu begava, even though as an ani he has permission from the Torah to enter into the field of the Balabayis, but ki zochale rachmana li luchi be'il inikute peah, he was given permission to enter into the field of the Balabayis if he will use that right to legally and legitimately collect his peah, but to declare that my Dalet Amos should work as a chatzer, l'mehevi chatzero lo zochale rachmana, the Torah is not going to give him those rights of ownership in the chatzer. So although the Rabbanon made a takana of Dalet Amos, however, it was restricted only to a place that is accessible to everybody by the nature of the place. The fact that in this case of Peah, the Ani has rights to go in, that doesn't generate a Kinyan Chatzer of Dalet Amos. Now, if you could keep your finger on the place, I want to read to you a different girsa in the Gemara. And you'll see in a minute how this girsa that I'm going to quote is, there's a discrepancy between this girsa and the way we have it printed in our Gemara. Yesh Garsim, another girsa, which you'll see here on the side here, I don't know if you have the Ghost of Tzayunim, anyway, he says, Ki tekidu le rabbanon arba amos bisada di alma. So again, those words we have, Ki tekidu le rabbanon arba amos, is besada di alma. Correct? Sada di alma. Just one split second here. I have an aleph here. I don't know if you have the same aleph here. Oh, besada de alma instead of sada be alma. Now, there's only a discrepancy here of one letter. But let's see if we can build something on this. This is the Ramban. The Ramban has a commentary on the Rif, and he notices that the Rif, instead of having Arba Amos Bi Alma, he has Arba Amos Bi Soda Di Alma. What's the difference? What's the Soda Di Alma? Says the Ramban, Hakavona L'Soda Shal Hefker O Shemuta L'Halich Ba. So that Sodeb de Alma means one of two things. Either it means a Sodeb Hefker, or it means a Sodeb where you're allowed to go in. You're allowed to enter into that Sodeb. And he says the following, Ubis Sodeb Mishtameres Ein kinyan arba amos af im yesh rishus likoneis elel. What the Gemara has in mind here is that the takana de rabbanon of dalan amos only applies in a sada di alma, which means a sada which was left open. So, for example, if I own a field and I leave it unwalled, right, without a god there, and it's a soda she'eino mishtameres, then what I'm inviting is the whole public, anyone who wants to come along has rights to enter into the soda. It's your responsibility as the field owner to set up a fence and make it into a soda mishtameres. But as long as the field is completely open and it's not mishtameres, then anyone could come into the field, and not only that, anyone could be kona with dalet amos. However, if it's a sada mishtameres, then even if I were to allow you to enter into the chutz, I would invite you in, nevertheless, it still would not be subject to the kinyan of dalet amos. Why? Because it's a chutz mishtameres. So in other words, according to the girsa of the Rif, says the Ramban, the distinction here, the contrast, is between a sada de alma. De alma means it belongs to everyone, which means the world, the Welt, de alma. Anyone could come in. But if only you could come in, because I gave you permission to come in, but the sada itself is walled, it's fenced, in such a way that no one else is allowed access and entry into the sada, that sada is not subject, or doesn't lend itself to the halacha of dalet amos, for anyone to set up a chatzer. And the Ramban writes that we should take a look in the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchos Gzeilah V'Aveidah Perek Yud Zayin says, "O b'sada she'ein lo bailim," which would imply that any sada that has bailim, there's no kinyan arba amos, and it makes no difference whether it's mishtameres or eino mishtameres. So here's the nafkamina between the Ramban and the Rambam, which might be a nafkamina between our girsa and the Rif's girsa. According to the Rambam Shita, There's only one critical issue which will determine whether the Kinyan Chachamim of Arba'amas will apply. And that is it privately owned or is it not privately owned? Any privately owned area is Mufka completely excluded from the Kinyan Dalet Amos. Even if the field is open to the public, there are no walls and anyone can come in, it's Eidim Mishtameres. Nevertheless, there's no Kinyan of Arba Amos. Why? Because Yeshla Bail. Masha Enkin, according to the Ramban, it's not a question of Yeshla Bailim or Ainlo Bailim, but rather it's a question of Yeshla Rishus Likonis Aleh or Ainlo Rishus Likonis. The only difference is that the Ramban stipulates that it has to be Yeshla Kuli Alma, that's what the word De Alma means, Rishus Likonis. So if you have an open field, meaning there's no fence around it, and you invite the veldt, anyone in the veldt can come in, then there's a kinyan of Arba Amos. But if you have a field that is mishtamer, and you're not inviting strangers into your field, because you put up a fence to indicate that I want you to stay out, then in such a case, you would not be able to have a kinyan Arba Amos, even if it's a person who was given granted express permission to enter into the field. Once it's a chatzah mishtameres, that's it. So again, both the Rambam and the Ramban have an absolute rule, a hardcore rule, as to which kind of a field is excluded from Kinyan Arba Amos. But there's a difference between the two. According to the Rambam Shita, Maimonides, it all depends upon ownership. If you have private ownership, then there is no Kinyan Dalet Amos. According to the Ramban Nachmanides, it depends upon Mishtameres or Eino Mishtameres. So the Nafkamina between the Rambam and the Ramban is going to be in a case of a Chotzer, which is privately owned, but it's Eino Mishtameres. And according to the Ramban, in such a case, since the son is hefker, meaning it's open to anyone can come in, it's not mishtamer, therefore you can make a kinyan dalet amos in such a place. The Ramban learns that what's mafkia, the possibility of a kinyan dalet amos, it's the mishtameres element. Whereas the Rava would say that even though it's ena mishtameres, there's an absolute rule that if this sada is owned privately, then there's no Kenyan Dalet Amos.
I'm having a hard time understanding the Ramban, because the field is not hefker. The field belongs to someone. It's just that the rabbim have
But one second, Yosef, are you asking a conceptual question? I'll tell you why I ask you that, because just on a textual level, I want to appreciate the Ramban. And hopefully you're on board with me here, and here you're very comfortable with the Ramban textually. Because the text of the Ramban, which is the Rif's Girsa, is De'alma, means what does it mean that you have a Sada De'alma? A Sada De'alma might be privately owned, but it's left hefker. That's De'alma, meaning you invite the entire Olam to come into your field. That's just on a textual level. That's not going to answer your question. You're asking conceptually, what difference it makes? Who cares if it's De Alma and it's open to the entire world when you have private ownership?
Yes. And when he wants to make a Kinyan Dalet Amos, he's wants to kones something that is mine. It's on my field. What do you mean? He's going to come in just because I didn't put up a fence, and now he's going to...
No, but let's say it's an object that you have no interest in being koneh, right? It's just for the veldt, right? The veldt is going to decide, call a koneh v'zocheh, who's going to take it. Like, for example, Pe'el Anid. So it's not a matter of the Bailam coming and saying, well, I own the field, get out of here. The Ramban says, even if you own a field, if you leave it hefker, then everyone gets access to that field. And if everyone has access to the field and you're not interested or you don't have a yad to be konus something, then the entire world is invited to set up a kinyan chatzer in that field.
Ah, a kinyan chatzer. I don't understand that. I let them come in, but that doesn't mean that everything that was within their dalet amos belongs to them.
Well, no. The Chazal are telling you that we're going to establish that you could be kona anything within your Dalet Amos. But a Chazal are going to only allow you to be kona something within your Dalet Amos if it's a kind of field that invites the entire. In other words, the Rabbanu were worried about insuya, about anarchy, yeah. Right? So the Rabbanu said, if there's going to be a lost object and the entire world is going to have access to that object, then we have to establish a kinyan arba amos. That's what we're talking about. Kit kinu le Rabbanu arba amos besada di alma. If it's a sada di alma, the whole world has access to the sada. Anyone can come in. That's where there's going to be anarchy, and that's where the Chazal are going to preempt this anarchy and this fight, and they're going to say there's such a thing as a kinyan. You could be kona that chefetz, which is in the radius of your dalet amos. I'm tempted to think that it's not strictly a kinyan chatz. I mean, until now we've been assuming that dalet amos is chatzero shel adam. It might be like chatzero shel adam, right? But we have to add a chaf adimyon here, because again, technically, you can't. There's no way you can acquire ownership over this chatzer of this dalet amos because it's privately owned. But since it's opened in a way which will allow for all these battles, because again, the Baal HaBayis is out of this picture. He's not interested. He's an usher and he's giving payah to the aniyim. So in such a case, there's going to be a fight here. So the Chazal will establish a kinyan called Dalet Amos, which means a kinyan over the chefetz, even if it's not really your chatzah, but it's within your Dalet Amos. You have a direct a direct kinyan on the chefetz because it's within your Dalet Amos. However, the Mishnah in Peah is talking about a chatzah mishtameres, says the Rabbah. In the case of a chatzah mishtameres, then clearly the Bailim are not giving access, they're not inviting the world, and they're not inviting the world to what? To enter into the field. And in such a case, even if they invite Ploni Almoni, but the nature of the Sada as a Sada Mishtameres excludes the Kenyan of Dalet Amos. The Rambam says no. It's all a question of Chatzah. Can you establish your Chatzah or not? Do I care whether the field is mishtamer or not mishtamer? Irrelevant. What I care about is it privately owned or is it not privately owned?
And how does
once it's privately owned, then there's no possibility of setting up a kinyan chatz. That's the Ramash.
Okay, and what is the implication of the girsa of bit almo, the bit, for the Rambam?
For the Rambam, bit almo means your regular hefkedika field. That's called a soda bialmo. It's out there in the wilderness. It's Rishus Aravim, it's Tzide Rishus Aravim, it's a Simta, it's a Midbar. That's called a soda bialmo. And there's no private ownership. Whereas the Ramban says, soda dealmo means that the Rabbanan established your ability to be kona chefetz in a sada de alma, which although it's privately owned, is a sada where the owner invites anyone to come in. It's a chatzah she'eno mishtameres.
So the Rambam just holds that if you have bailim, you have no chatzah for yourself.
Correct, because the Rambam is operating in his understanding of this takon of Dalet Amos within the framework of chatzer. Once it's a privately owned area, the Rabbanu are not going to allow you and set up a chatzer in somebody's private property, even if the guy invites you in, but it's private property, that can't be a chatzer. The Ramban is learning a direct kinyan on the chefetz. It's not a kinyan of chatzer. The Ramban is only asking where and for what reason did the Chazal make this takana that you can be kona chefetz within a radius of Dalet Amos? And the answer is lansuye, because anyone has access and anyone's invited, and now there's going to be World War III. Everyone's going to fight to try to make a kinyan on it. So Rabbanan said, no, Dalet Amos. But this is not a Dalet Amos of chatzer, according to the Ramban, because you cannot have a Dalet Amos of chatzer in someone's private property, even if it's a chatzer shene mishtameres, and it's de alma. However, the Rabbanan allowed you to have a yad of kinyan Dalet Amos, which means that you're kona the object within Dalet Amos, magically, without a chatzah. So, for example, if I were to ask you the following question, is kinyan Dalet Amos active or passive? What would you say? I think it depends on this machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Why? Because if you're like the Rambam and you're operating midin chotzer, that's totally passive. You're not doing anything. If the object lands in your chotzer, in your dalet amos. But if you go like the Ramban, that you're making a direct kinyan on the object that the metzia, the hefker that fell into dalet amos, then what we're talking about is your yad. You're extending your yad to the object itself. And that is an active kinyan. I would ask another question. Would Dalet HaAmos operate without knowledge? I don't even know that there's an object within four Amos. This too might depend upon the Ramban and the Rambam, because if the Rambam is operating with Chotzer, we have a principle called Chotzer Shalom Konalo Afilu Shalom Midaito. But with regard to a Yad, and it's as if within Dalet HaAmos you've taken it up, then for such a thing you need das. You have to be aware of the fact that you are now extending your yad to receive this object within a radius of, which is located within a radius of dalet amos.
Does the woman know that?
One more thing. Would it make any difference if he got there first or if the chayfetz got there first? So once again, according to the Rambam, who's operating within chutz, I don't think it would make a darn bit of difference whether who got there first. If you got there second, and now you have a kinyan chutz, because again, this is not privately owned land. This is what we call a sada be'alma. Then you should be kona with dalet amos, even though the object came into your chutz, to your dalet amos, subsequently to your getting there. But if according to the Ramban, Chotzer sets up a direct relationship between your yad and the object, then it could be that the Rabbanan said, you know what? You now enter into the four amos radius of this object. Your entry into this area is an extension of your yad. Again, it has to be midas. But if you're aware of that object, now you're extending your arm, and now you can collect the object. But if you got there first, then what is it? It's a chotzer. What do you mean? It's privately owned according to the Ramban. It's a chotzer sheni mishtameres. It's a sada de'alma, but it still belongs to someone, even if it's sheni mishtamer. So there the halacha may possibly differentiate between who got there first. Because if there's an active kinyan of dalet amos according to the Ramban, then you have to have the chayfetz there, and then you enter into the dalet amos, the maisa knisa, so to speak. Into the dalet amos is considered like you stretch out your arm to pick up the object and be koneh. But if the object was there before you got, I'm sorry, that's if the object was there before you got there. But if you got there first, so what is it? It's flying into your chotzer? Dalet amos is not a chotzer. Yeah, go ahead, Yosef. I'm sorry, I just wanted to add that point before I forget.
So in the case of when the person is zorek get le'ishto and it lands in Kalata, how is she koneh that b'chotzer?
Well, Kalata is Hachotz. The question is, where is that Kalata located? If it's in the Rishus of the Baal, so then L'chorah, she doesn't have a Chotz in the Rishus of the Baal. So you'd have to assume that if he decided he wants to give her a get in Kalata, then what he does is, he's makna her, the Chotzer, around it. So it shouldn't be ma'akev, her ability to use Kalata as a Chotzer.
Huh. And she may or may not be aware of
That's interesting.
That there's something in that.
So that has to do with Chatzero Shalom and Kodolo Shalom Midato, but that becomes complicated because that's only in the case of a Schutz.
It's Chia, right.
And the question is whether Get is a Schutz. If Get is not considered a Schutz, I don't know how you're going to operate with Shalom Midato. You're going to have to talk about what Venos and Biyoda means because Isha Miskaresh is Shalom Midato.
Okay. Got it.
Okay, now we finished Hakofa Aleph. We were able to reconcile Reish Lakish, Abba Kohi Bardala, and the Kinyan Dalet Amos with the Mishnah in Peah. Now we go on to our Mishnah. Omar Rava, Mosif Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Nezikin, meaning from our Mishnah here in Nezikin. It's not called Bab Metzi, it's called Nezikin. Obviously, we're talking about a case where the object is very close to him. It's certainly within his Dalet Amos. Otherwise, how is he able to fall on the object? And the impression you get from our Mishnah is that we're talking about a Sada De'alma, or call it a Sada Be'alma, according to the Rambam, right? In other words, it's not a privately owned Sada, and it's certainly accessible to everyone in the Welt. So why can't he be Zoche if he falls on the object through the principle of Kinyan Arba Amos? See, here Rabbo says where the Gemara could differentiate in many different ways. It could be that our Mishnah is talking about a case where the object got there first. But again, that would only work according to some Rishonim. It could be that the Mishnah is talking about a case where he made a declaration of that he's not interested in being called in Dalet Amos. Or alternatively, if he didn't make that statement explicitly, the fact that he threw his body onto the Mitzia, that itself is an indication, it's an umdur of the Muchach, that he doesn't have any interest in being coded with Dalet Amos, and then it becomes the Yefshev with Tekores Chachom. Also, how does the Gemara know that when the Mishnah says Uba Acher Vehichzik Ba, that the Ba' Acher was outside of the parameters of Dalet Amos? I mean, could you argue that they were both within Dalet Amos? One of them throws his body on top of the object, and the other one starts pulling it out from underneath his belly, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they could be right next to each other.
So then the whole cache of this Gemara falls off. Somehow the Gemara is assuming the following premise, that the Ba' Acher Vehichzik Ba was outside of the Dalet Amos, because if he was within Dalet Amos, then I don't know who is Kone, because then I have to figure out who got there first. Yeah, but again, the Gemara I think would be hard pressed, because if it wasn't clear that the first guy got there first, so what's Ba' Acher Vehichzik Ba? I mean, if the Mishnah is asking, what do you do? It's like Shnai Mosef Vitalis,
exactly.
Right? What do you do in a case where we don't know who got there first?
We assume that they're both within Dalet Amos at the same time. I mean, it's
impossible. That's for sure. But who got there first? You follow? So the Gemara is assuming that the one who fell on it, he got there first. And if he got there first, he should have been Kona with Dalet Amos, regardless of the feeling.
The assumption is that he got there first.
And he's certainly aware of the object, so he wants to be Kona it. And he's so aggressive about it that he throws his body onto the object. But is he declaring Ef Shivatakaris Chachomet? I mean, we use that logic with regard to Peah. Let's go back to the question of Peah. The Gemara says no, that it was a privately owned field. Just one second. I see. I'll tell you what point I missed here. You see, I missed a point. Rav Papa decided no, is arguing against the first answer of the Gemara, meaning he's not willing to say that in the case of the Mishnah Peah is the Efshi B'Takonis Chachamim, because the Mishnah just says Nafal Aleha. So Nafal Aleha, according to a Papa, means it's a privately owned field, and that's unique to the case of Peah. The first answer should work for our Mishnah as well. But I think the Gemara now is asking the question according to Rav Papa. Let's see if this bears me out. So the Gemara answers, Hacha bayaskinon delo amar ekne. So he didn't make a declaration that he wants to be kone through Dalet Amos. So the Gemara asks, wait a minute, Itika Rabbanon is kilo amar mayhavi. his Arba Ava should be Kona automatically, even if he didn't say the magic word Diakni. And again, I don't know if this is Halacha in Dalet Amos specifically, but more likely it's Halacha in general in Kinyan. Let's just think about that. Again, in other Kinyanim, just 1 second, in other Kinyanim, we're talking about a Kinyan. Yeah, see, the thing is like this. If there's no Das Makna, like for example, in the case of Hefker or Metzia, so I would say that he has to indicate that he wants to make the Kinyan. Masha Enkin, in the case of Mecher Mechir with his Das Makna, I can understand that he doesn't have to make a statement because the Das Makna is telling me I'm giving it to you. And if he doesn't reject it, then we have every reason to assume that he accepted it. In the case of Hefker, I'm not sure. What would you say? If a person could be Kona something that's Hefker, is it absolutely necessary that he indicates that he wants to be Kona? Again, I don't have a case for you because I don't know what Kenyan would fit this billing. But let's say we found a Kenyan that could work for Hefker, but he hasn't said the word Diakni. I would think in that case, he would not be Kona. Because there's no indication whatsoever that he wants to make a Kenyan. Only in Das Makna, where the Makna himself is saying, I want you to acquire ownership on this object, then he doesn't require any statement, any declaration. So Agamar thinks that Dalet Amos should be different than Hefker, than a normal case of being Kona Hefker. Even if I assume that in a normal case of Hefker, you have to indicate that you have a desire and an intention to be Kona, but the exception to that rule should be Dalet Amos. Because the Rabbanim made this takon of Dalet Amos for your benefit, whether you know about it or you don't know about it. Meaning, you're walking down the street and you have the possibility of being Kona with Dalet Amos. I don't need you to declare and reveal your interest in being Kona with Dalet Amos. You don't have to make any sort of declaration. Oh, hinini muchen mezumen, I want my Dalet Amos to be konosli. Why? Because the whole nature of this takana is to exclude everyone else because of Asilu and Tsuye. So Dalet Amos shalom konoslo, it should operate even in the absence of his making a statement that he wants to be Kona. So therefore now in Mishnah we don't understand why Ba Acher Behechzik Ba, because Lechora, even if he didn't make that magic statement of Akni, he should be Kona by virtue of the Takonas Chachamim automatically.
What if he doesn't want it?
Oh, so that's Sigmar's answer. Sigmar answers that. So again, let me go through the kash and then Jeff's answer. E tikun rabbanon, since this takara was made on behalf of peace and security, ki lo amar my havi, I don't need him to make this declaration. He comes into the Dalet Amos. He's first come, first serve, and he doesn't have to make any statements. And the Gemara answers what Jeff said. Kaver did not follow lay, but if he throws his body on top of the hefker, that's our Mishnah, is goli adaite to be nefila nichalei de nikne, but be arba amos lo nichalei de nikne. And this already comes under the principle of the efshi betakonas chachamim. Now let's just think if we can apply some of the other answers to this kash as alternatives. And the Gemara is using the answer of Goli Adaite. That was one of the answers that we saw earlier in the case of the kasha from Peah. We had another answer that the owner of the field, that the field, obviously the field of Peah is privately owned, or according to the Rabbat, it's Mishtamir, and therefore there is no kinyan dalet amos in a makom that's mishtamer. Ah, so we could say that our Mishnah is talking about a case of a makom of mishtamer, or according to the Rambam Shita, it's a chatzer of a baal habayis. Fine. That's going to be Rav Sheshes, correct? Who is it? Rav Sheshes. But let's just think out of the box for a minute. Even without Rav Sheshes, could we offer the answer? That we rejected. We suggest that maybe we don't know who got there first. Yeah, why did the Gemara answer that the Chafetz was already there before he got there? That could be a good answer. Let me just work this out here. Again, we're saying that Dalet Amos cannot operate against his will. Correct? And once he's Megaladas, that he doesn't want to be Konu with Dalet Amos, then we're not going to give him the Kinyan to Dalet Amos again. You know, we're not going to shove it down his throat. But what about the sequence? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I thought we discussed this. Is this just my imagination? Second. Dalet Amos Shalom Konus Lo. So now we're talking about Hefker. Oh, here it is. The Rashba says that he doesn't understand why do we need kinyanim? Hagbah, Meshicha, Mesira. Obviously the object is within close proximity. If he's doing Hagbah, so he already has a kinyan of Dalet Amos. So you and I could have given any number of answers to that question. Maybe he needs kinyan Dalet Amos because Dalet Amos is Konos Lo Afilu, even if he doesn't know about the object. He says, "V'tirich, listen to this. This is the Rashba's language. Sha'arba Amos Konos Rak Im Hakone Konam Lachefetz. Dahainu Im Hamocher Hiniach." Just 1 second, I don't understand. Arba Amos Konus Rak Im Hakone Kodam Lachefetz. Tahainu Im Hamocher Hiniach.
So you established your place, then something came into your place.
Right. Aval Im. Achefetz ayimunach sham kodem sheba v'kana ein arba amos konos. So I'm just thinking, according to the Rashba, if Dalet Amos is only konos, if he got there first, then who says in our Mishnah he got there first? Why don't we assume that the Chafetz was there and now he comes into that area and he throws his body down on the Chafetz? In such a case, he would not be Kona with Dalet Amos. That was my kasha. Again, it might be a kasha only on the Rashba, because the Rashba who makes this distinction. So let's see Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes Omar Kit Kine Rabbanan Besimta, which is something that anyone could go in there and use it for his property, for his personal Delodachki Rabin. But it's off the road, so to speak. It's not in the center of the highway. But Birshus Rabim Deka Dachki Rabim Lo Takinu Rabbana. So what do you get out of this? Rav Sheshes is saying that the Takona only applies in a simta, which lo doch ki beira. I mean, we didn't see this before. Again, Rav Sheshet is not going to say that our Mishnah is talking about a case of privately owned land. That would be way out. And according to Rav Sheshet, again, he's not going to give the previous answer that Rav Papa gave for Peah, that it's a Soda de Bala Bais. That would not be appropriate a Kimta for our Mishnah. So it's got to be in a place which is accessible to everyone. But here he wants to differentiate between a simta which is low dochi beirab and a shizaram which is dochi beirab. So what is the underlying logic here of Rav Sheshet? Is he saying that since there's so many people there, we'll never be able to determine who got there first?
It's not Shaya, because he's going to be sharing the Dalai Lama's with a whole lot of people that are standing next to him.
And what? Nobody actually got there first. Is that what we're saying? They're all going through this Dalai Lama.
It's not appropriate. There's no room. He doesn't have his own Dalai Lama's there.
But are you talking physical? Let's say you know, but at that moment when he finds the Metzia that's described in our Mishnah, is it Dochi Bei Rabin?
Yeah.
Why, it's 24/7? No, I don't know. To me, it sounds like Rav Sheshet is talking about the Rishus, right? The Rishus itself, right? There are plenty of areas which, if you show up at 4 in the morning, you know, nobody's around. Even though at 12 noon, it's Times Square, you know what I mean? I think he's saying something about a Rishus HaRabim versus a symptom. Because Rosh Hashanah is described as Dochi Beirabin. That's how we describe it. Doesn't mean that at this moment in our Mishnah, it's a situation of Dochi Beirabin.
Right, but it is still the Rosh Hashanah. And that's off the list.
Right, so there's no Kenyan Dalai Lama's in Rosh Hashanah.
If it's empty,
and our Mishnah is talking about a case. Our Mishnah is talking about a case of
symptom.
Of Rosh Hashanah.
Oh,
no, because again, we're trying to figure out why the Ba'ach or Vehichzik Ba, why isn't the first guy going to be Dalai Lama? The answer is because we're in Rosh Hashanah. There is no Kenyan Dalai Lama in Rosh Hashanah, correct?
That's right. Yes.
But I'm just trying to figure out why would the Rambanan exclude Dalai Lama in Rosh Hashanah? So you're going to tell me because we don't know who got there first? I mean, what if it was 3 in the morning and I certainly know I got there first? You know, you could have a Times Square, but I don't know if this is so, but you know, a Times Square, there's nobody there in the Rosh Hashanah. No one is there in Rosh Hashanah. Dochi Beirabin. And since Rosh Hashanah is Dochi Beirabin, therefore there's no Kenyan Dalai Lama's. I think I know. He's saying like this. Let's go with the Rambam Shita of Chotzer, that Dalai Lama operates midin Chotzer. So the Rabbanan have to make a decision, where can you set up a Chotzer? And what they established was that a Simta is an area that anyone who's in need at that moment, he can make a Kinyan on the Simta, and he can use it for Kinyan. But if it's just a Rabbim, you can never convert it into a chotzer. Why? Because it's by its very essence, it's hefker. It's a reshus. It's open to everybody. We're inviting everyone to use. Again, it could be that he was the first guy to get there first, and it's in the middle of the night. There's no dochi bei rabbi. But what the nature of the reshus is, that's mukha from chotzer. That would only work according to the Rambam. Now let's go according to the Ramban, who says it all depends upon Mishtameris or Eina Mishtameris. So here it's an Eina Mishtameris. So why is an Ikona Midin Dalai Lama's? So the answer is Dochi Bei Rabin. But so what? What is Dochi Bei Rabin? What changes because it's Dochi Bei Rabin? Again, we don't need a Kointer Ramban Akinyin Chotzer. Alright, I see we ran out of time. So Bli Neder, I'm going to make a note that we should come back to this question here. And let's learn a little bit of Chulin and Yoredeya.